Thank you very much. You may be seated. It took a while for me to really know what I was preaching. I'm actually have an opportunity to preach a series coming up. And it's kind of funny because I know what I'm preaching in those messages, but I was looking at this date and wondering, Lord, what am I going to preach? And then I just kept reading my Bible, kept praying, and God just, as I read through Psalm 19, God just placed my burden here just to share Him and what He's done, who He is, and Lord, and also how you can see Him. Psalm 19 is one of the greatest Psalms that we have, in my opinion. I love just how it starts, and look at verse number 1. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and the words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. He is going forth is from the ends of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. There is nothing hid from the heat thereof." When you look at this passage, this is talking about what we would call general revelation. In other words, it's talking about how we see God in creation. And what it's telling us is that God is revealed. So number one, in this passage, we see that in creation, God is revealed. And can I just tell you something? This is not something that can be mistaken. This is unmistakable. You think about, like, oh, I don't know if I really see it. You know, sometimes I think we just spend too much time inside. Sometimes I just really think we spend too much time inside. I had the opportunity just a couple weeks ago to go to the Smoky Mountains, to go to Gatlinburg. And just to be able to see and just look out from our cabin, to look out and just look across the hills and across the mountains there, to see all the way from where I was in Knoxville all the way into North Carolina, and to see all those mountains. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. Listen, it is unmistakable. The Bible doesn't say in verse number 1, the heavens kind of show the glory of God. It doesn't say the heavens whisper the word of God. No, it says the heavens declare. Amen. Loudly the word of the glory of God. And the firmament shows His handiwork. It is unmistakable. I can just imagine David is the one who penned this psalm. I can just imagine as David's looking into the sky, he can see the blue sky with the glory of the sun and the clouds and the beauty of the sun rises and the sun sets. You ever take that time to stay up and go outside as the sun's setting and see those colors and see the majesty that is on display when the sun sets? Now, I can say that because I'm just not the person who wakes up early to see the sun rise, okay? But I imagine it's also very beautiful. But you see the majesty that's on display. I can imagine as David's looking into the night sky and with the brightness of the moon and the awe of the starry sky and the cloudy spread of distant galaxies. Yeah, being in Gatlinburg, I thought that maybe when, you know, at night with the looking up, I'd be able to see the stars. You couldn't really see the stars, but there was one time I had an opportunity to go and preach a teen rally in the middle of nowhere in Utah. Literally, the closest Walmart was like 84 miles away. So this is middle of nowhere. And just perfect weather, too. So it was great. And so one night, the person I was traveling with, you know, the other evangelist, and I decided that we were going to sleep outside on the deck of the house that we are staying at. And I will never forget laying in that sleeping bag and looking up. Because, listen, there were no lights. The only light would be if I turned a light on. And so I'll never forget just looking up into that sky and seeing everything. Just absolutely awe-inspiring. and it really shows the glory of God. But you think about all of that together with their size, their awe, their grand. You think about how David probably shouted with all who would see that the God who created all of this is glorious, and this is evidence of his glory. Now, there are some people who would want to tell us that everything around us that we see, the stars in the sky, the grass, the trees, the people, everything just came about by chance. But can we be honest that when we really look at what we see around us, it is absolutely obvious that there was a creator. You know, there's a lot that we could get. I could speak, again, as Brother Lee said, I could speak until tomorrow on that topic and probably even longer. But let me just give you one thing with that. Most secular scientists today agree that the universe had a beginning. Whoever you're talking about, most even a lot of the popular ones, they believe that the universe had a beginning. Now, when we talk about the universe had a beginning, here's what we're talking about. Space, time, and matter. Space, time, and matter. So they're saying that the space that we take up, the time that we use, and the matter by which we exist had a beginning. And looking at different things, the secular scientists even say that they all came into being at the exact same time. That sounds familiar, right? That sounds familiar. Now, they're trying to come up with a lot of different explanations for that. Well, you think about it, if space, time, and matter came into being at the exact same time, then whatever started that, whatever created that, had to be spaceless, timeless, and immaterial. Now, two things fit that. God and nothing. Okay? That's it. God and nothing. But here's the thing. Can nothing do anything? No. But God can. And right there, again, is an example how the heavens declare the glory of God. It is unmistakable. It's not just unmistakable, it's unrestricted. Look at verse number 3. It says, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. And he says, their line is gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. In other words, he has the skies, and the sky is the tent from the sun. And he goes on to describe how the sun rises, and it goes across his tent, and it goes back in, and it rests, and it rises, and it falls. And just how this language that God has created to reveal that he exists, it's unrestricted. Listen, there are 6,500 languages in the world. Yet God has spoken to the world in such a way that every single person, no matter what language they speak, can understand that he exists. I think about my children. Charlie's getting to the point now where you can actually somewhat understand what he's saying. Sometimes he still just, he just looks at me and he's like, blah, 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 and I'm just like, dude, you're not using words. You gotta, and I have no idea what he's saying. Okay? But he's starting to use words. And that, you know, there are some people who just, they're not going to understand him. But at the same time, can I go back to my other son, Kobe? He still just the, and the screaming. I'm not going to scream as loud as he does. He's the worst scream ever. But he just screams. And you know what? That doesn't matter what language you speak. You understand that baby needs something. And then you just check off the, you know, do the checklist. Does he need this? Does he need this? Does he need this? Does he need this? And if all of those are no, then you're like, let's go to the doctor. It's kind of a universal language there. But God's language here is even more universal. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are all without excuse. Is an unrestricted language. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Listen, there's some times when I get discouraged. There's some times when I just need some encouragement. And a lot of times, you know what I do? I just go outside and look up. I just go outside and look up and see the vastness of space. It's big. It's really big. But you know what the Bible says? God's bigger. And I remember that. That's encouraging. And so in Psalm 19, the first thing we see that God is revealed. God is revealed through creation. The second thing we see that good is revealed. Now what that is that creation, we see that God exists. And then Psalm 19 goes into special revelation, which is his word. And it's through his word that we find out who he is. We see good revealed. Look at verse number 7 of Psalm 19. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous all together." You look at that and just you see each verse, and it says Lord, and it says Lord, and it says Lord. The word there referring to God is the word Yahweh. It's the word for the God of covenant love and faithfulness to his people. And as we read through this, we see the goodness of God revealed. We see it first says that the law of the Lord is perfect. According for 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3, it says, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, that through the knowledge of him that has called us unto glory and virtue." While it does not give us all knowledge, all of the knowledge that the Bible gives us is true and perfect. We see next that the testimony of the Lord is sure. Listen, the word of God is reliable and certain. Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." It says the statutes of the Lord are right. God's word and the commandments contain within, listen, whether you agree with them or not, they are right. They are morally right, they are practically right, and they are universally right. They are right because it is the revelation of a God who is holy, true, and who is always right. And next says, "The commandment of the Lord is pure." Psalm 12, verse 6, it said, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." Listen, because the word of God comes from God, his word is pure because he is pure. His word is holy because he is holy. And next says, "The fear of the Lord is clean." Here David called the word of God the fear of the Lord. It's deeply connected to the awe and majesty of God himself. One who reads and hears and studies the word of God, meeting him in his word, will have an appropriate appreciation of God's awe and majesty. Then it says, "The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous all together." Listen, there is nothing in Scripture that is untrue or that is unrighteousness. Nothing. It is all true. It is righteous altogether. And I love what he writes in verse number 10. "Because of this, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb." So what I take from that is in the first couple of verses, he says, listen, we can see God in creation. We can see God in nature. But what he comes to in verse number 10 is, listen, nature's great, but more to be desired than nature is his word. Listen, I love when I talk to someone who says they don't believe in God. I love, you know, first looking at nature and explaining, listen, even nature explains this. But you know what? I don't stay there. Because no matter how much I explain how nature points to God, nature can't save them. God, through his word, can. And we even see that in this passage. See, the word, we see that not only is the goodness of God revealed, but the grace of God is revealed. First, we see the possibility of grace. Look at verse number 7 through 9, and then we'll look at verse number 12. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Verse number 12, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults." Listen, when it says in that beginning of verse number 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, it says that then it converts the soul. Can we praise the Lord for the possibility of grace? It says the testimony of the Lord is sure. It says it makes wise the simple. It says the statutes of the Lord are right. It says it, the word of God, rejoices the heart. I love it. Verse number 12, it says, "Who can understand his errors?" So listen, Christian, there are things that we do wrong that we just don't even understand yet. But in our drawing close to God through his word, he'll cleanse us from the things that we don't even know that we're doing wrong yet. He'll change us. "Cleanse thou me from secret faults." We see the possibility of grace. But even just looking at this passage, listen, we see the need for grace. The soul needs converted. The simple need made wise. The heart needs rejoicing. The eyes need enlightened. Listen, people need the gospel. People need grace. Most of you who are sitting here have heard this many, many, many times. And what I'm about to say really is what the Bible calls the gospel. And what is going to be easy to do for you right now is still listen, but kind of just tune it out saying, I know this already. I've heard this many times. I'm already a Christian. I've moved on. I'm good. I need to learn other things. But listen, it is the gospel in which we stand. It is the gospel in which we have life. And it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. You need to study and remember the gospel. And if you are here this morning, whether you are in the auditorium, whether you're watching online, whether you're listening on the radio, if you have never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, if you are not 100% sure that if you die today, that if you go to heaven, you need to listen and listen close. We see the need for grace in this passage. When we look at it, we see that, again, the soul needs converted. We look at other passages and then how they line up with this. Romans 3:10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." And the reason for that is, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, we understand sin to be anything we think, say, or do that breaks God's law. Now, we think about that and we think, well, what's the big deal? Well, the Bible says in Romans 6:23, beginning of it, says, "For the wages of sin is death." That is separation from God. When we sin, we are separated from God. Now, again, we think about, well, you know, I'm not that bad of a person. Well, we have an Exodus, the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, verse 13 says, "Thou shalt not kill." You say, well, I haven't really done that. Well, have you hated someone? Because Jesus Christ himself said in Matthew chapter 5 that if you're angry at someone, that you've committed murder in your heart. Verse number 14 says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." What was it? Well, I don't really do that. I haven't done that. It's like, well, have you looked at someone with lust? Because Jesus Christ, again, in Matthew chapter 5, said, if you look with lust, you are guilty of adultery in your heart. Verse number 15 says, "Thou shalt not steal." Well, I'm not a thief. Have you stolen anything in your lifetime, regardless of value? maybe a quarter from your mom's purse because when you were little, you wanted to get a little Debbie snack. This is me confessing. That's what I did. Maybe you cheated on a test one time, stealing the answers, just taking something that's not yours. If someone steals, what do you call them? A thief. I get way too many times I get the answer stealer. I'm like, no, that's Pennsylvania. We don't go there. But you're a thief. If you have stolen, you're a thief. Verse number 16, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. How many of us have, in this auditorium, have lied? Okay, everyone whose hand is down are lying, so please put your hand up, all right? We have all told things that are not true. Listen, we have all broken God's law. We have all broken God's law, and therefore we are guilty. I share this so many times when I'm witnessing. If I went and robbed a bank, and in the process of robbing the bank, killed someone. Now, but it was obvious that I did it because I didn't wear a mask and I didn't wear gloves. So my face was on the cameras. My fingerprints were all over the place. And now I stand before the judge. And I say, judge, yes, I did this. I'm guilty of robbing the bank and killing this person. But I'm a really good person. I walk dogs just out of the kindness of my heart. I feed homeless people. I help old ladies cross the street. I volunteer with the Boy Scouts. I do all these really good things. Would that be a good judge if he just said, okay, bye? No. And you see, God is also a good judge. Romans chapter 3, verse number 20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Isaiah chapter 64, verse number 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness, all our good works, all the good things that we do, they are all just like filthy rags. And we do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away, have separated us from God. It doesn't matter what good things you can do. If you have broken God's law, you are guilty. Guilty. So then what is the cure? What is the remedy? Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Again, you look at Psalm chapter 19, it says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Is through his word. Let's go back to Romans 6:23. It says, for the wages of sin is death, though our sins separate us from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but of everlasting life. Say, how can I do that? How can I believe in God? It says in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, Christ is speaking and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. It says, repent ye and believe the gospel. Now, when we talk about the word repent, repent means to agree with God. So we, in our sin, we love our sin. We are selfish. We love what we do. We want to do what we do. We love our sin. And so we love it. But God is calling us to repent. In other words, turn from our sins and agree with God about our sins, that our sin is wicked, putrid, and disgusting. And turn to him. And so we need to repent, but not just do that. We need to repent and believe. Believe what? Well, exactly what he says here, believe the gospel. When you think about what is the gospel, the gospel is laid out for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. It says, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. So when it says believe the gospel, what it's saying is believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died, he was buried, and he rose again to pay the wage for your sin, because God did not sin. God was sinless. Therefore, God did not owe the wage, and therefore he can pay yours. When you repent of your sins and believe, you need to agree with God about your sin and trust him to forgive your sins based on what he did and what he did alone, not by works. Nothing you can do can save you. Listen, we don't deserve it, but God is offering salvation to all who come to him by faith. Listen, it is revealed in the Bible. It's revealed in his word what God has done to redeem his fallen creation. But Christian, the value doesn't stop there of Scripture. And very quickly, when we look at Psalm 19, we don't see just grace revealed, we see guidance revealed. Verse number 11 says, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. So keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin. Let him not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth, pay attention right here. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Listen, the word of God guides us to a singular focus. You look again at verse number 14 in the middle. It says, be acceptable in whose sight? Thy sight, God's sight. Deuteronomy 6, 4, verses 4 and 5 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Psalm 119, verse 2 says, blessed are they which keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Psalm 119, verse 9, and this is where we need to look at. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? It says, by taking heed, in other words, doing, by applying to your life the principles and the commands that you see from God, by taking heed thereto according to his word, not our will, not our word, his will, his word. Listen, can I just say this? I've seen too many Christians read their Bible every single day for 75 years, but they really never grow. Do you want to know why? Because they never truly actually take heed according to God's word. They never actually take it and say, this is what God said. I am doing this. These don't mix. So something has to change. And listen, God's word ain't going to change. You need to. You need to. I remember just dealing with anger when I was growing up. I remember just getting to college and just getting really into God's word. And I remember one time just someone saying, you're the nicest person. You just never get angry. Now, that wasn't true. I still got angry, but they just never saw me get angry, which was crazy because I always got angry before. And you know what? When I was in college, I didn't go and look specifically for verses that dealt with anger. No, I focused on getting to know my God and drawing closer to him. And you know what God did? God took away the anger that I had. Listen, you might be dealing with something in your life. And you say, I'm just going to all these verses and trying to memorize all these verses and allow God to change me. No, just draw closer to God. Just get in his word and apply what you read in his word to your life. We need a singular focus. And you know that singular focus, you know what it includes? It includes a soul focus. It says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Listen, if the words of your mouth are going to be acceptable in the sight of God, then you need to heed Mark chapter 16, verse 15, which says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. Some of you might say, you know what? I just don't have the ability. I don't have the ability to share the gospel. I just can't do it. You know, that's the same excuse that Moses gave. But, you know, God gave him the ability. God will give you the ability. You just have to be obedient. Some of you might say, you know what? I don't have the time to do it. Can I just say then something's messed up? If you don't have the time to share the gospel with other people, something's messed up in your life. Because I just want you to think about this. When you stand before God in judgment, at the judgment seat of Christ, and present to him your works and say, well, why didn't you share? And he says, why didn't you share the gospel to more people? And he says, well, you know what? I didn't have time. Do you think he's really going to accept an excuse like that? Do you think he's also going to accept again the excuse that I didn't have the ability? I think when at that point, you know what I think we would do? I think you said, I would have given it to you. Christians, this gospel that we just went over is the only hope the world has. And we have it. Listen, they have creation. They have God revealed. But if they don't have the word of God revealed to them, it's not going to help them. We need to preach the gospel. Romans 10:13, and this is in closing, says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Who's the preacher? See, I'm preaching this morning, but the preacher is not referring to me. Pastors are pastor. He preaches most Sundays, but you know, that it's not referring to him. It's not referring to a paid staff member of a church. It's referring to those who would get up, go out, and proclaim the gospel. It's referring to you. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things.